turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And amen. I thank God for the word of God. Amen. I told you before, I believe we're in Revelation chapter 3 right now, where we're living right now. And the Lord about, I believe the Lord about ready to come back. And I tell you that, I believe that more and more as days go on. And look in Revelation chapter 2, this is the seven churches. And if y'all have been reading your Bible and studying your Bible, there are seven churches, and all the Bible represents, whenever you read the Bible, the Bible represents historically what happened. It represents also spiritually, you can apply things in your Bible that might be applied to the Jew. You can apply it spiritually to you. And then historically, doctrinally, this is to the seven churches going to be in the tribulation period. And these are seven churches going through the tribulation, because you read this and you go, wow, man, this is crazy. This is wild stuff. And then when you read chapter 3, you get over to the Laodicean church. That's where we're at right now, spiritually Laodicean. And that means the rights of the people. I want my rights. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody's, you know, I'm going to get my rights one way or the other. And they kick Jesus Christ out. And he's outside looking in, and he's knocking on the door trying to get in. And that's where we're at right now. Jesus Christ has been kicked out of churches. I told you my family was all Methodist, and Methodist Church kicked Jesus Christ out a long time ago. And there's still some Methodist churches around that still preach the Bible, that still believe it. But I was going to a United Methodist Church. They never told us how to get saved. They never told us anything like that. And my family was on their way to hell. And man, when I got saved, I started witnessing to my family. My dad got saved. My mom got saved. My brothers, sisters, they all got saved. But my brother is the one that started the whole thing. And he used to witness to me, tell me about Jesus Christ. And so the churches, and what happens is that you find this church of Ephesus. It's the first century church. And it goes. This thing goes to about, I guess it goes from the Pentecost all the way up to about 150 A.D. And then you got the Church of Smyrna. It goes from about 150 to 316 A.D. Then you got the Church of Pergamos. It goes from about 316 to 500 A.D. And then you've got the Church of Thyatira. It goes from about 500 to 1,000 A.D. And then you go over to Revelation 3, and then you got the Church of Sardis, which goes about 1,000 to 1,500 A.D. And then you got the Church of Philadelphia, which was the greatest, one of the greatest periods of church history. And it goes to 1,500 to 1,900. And then we're right now in the Laodicean church, which is about from 1,900 all the way up to right now. So when you read it, you say, man, this thing is something else. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. We was talking about the church in the book of Acts back a couple weeks ago before the revival. He said, unto the angel of the church of the Ephesus write, these things saith the he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Notice that seven golden candlesticks, that's for light. And he says he's walking in the midst of it. If you read anything about your Bible about the tabernacle, and you read about the tabernacle, the way it was built, and you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies inside, and outside was the outer court. And when you went in there, the candlesticks were in the holy place, and they had the showbread, and the outside was the laver and the brazen altar. So first thing you did when you walked into the Temple Mount, you seen the brazen altar as type of hell. You got to deal with hell when you're going to come to God. You got to deal with hell first. When I got saved, I dealt with hell, and the Lord delivered me, amen? And then every day I got to get cleansed before I go into the holy place. And the holy place is where the Word of God is. And the Bible talks about the seven or the loaves. There were six and six loaves. They were lined up. And the candlesticks was over by the loaves. And it gave light to the Word. It's type of the Word of God. The candlesticks. But look on down. It says, Jesus, it says, he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor. God knows everything about you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. I mean, he knows everything about you. He knows the very hair on your head. I mean, he knows everything. I mean, you think about that. I mean, the Lord just, when you're thinking something, he knows what you're thinking. And you've got to get your mind stayed on him. The Bible talks about keeping your mind on him. You got to get in the Word of God to get your mind straightened out. Because why? Because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. You got people losing their minds. I dealt with a young man this week going through some mind issues. And, it could be drugs and it could be other things. But he's dealing with maybe some spirits. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and thou hast canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. He says this church of Ephesus said they didn't like people that are evil. They can't bear them that are evil. And you know, I was listening to what he was teaching Sunday school. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them. I mean, brother, I'll tell you what, it's going to be bad for them people. And when they start calling evil good, and that's what we're in the day and age, people calling evil good and good evil. That's crazy. And the Bible says that in Isaiah. So if we got all this stuff going on in the world, man, the evilness and all that stuff. And it says that tried them which say they're apostles. And we got people, you got preachers saying they're apostles, and they're not. The Bible says, and have found them liars. Apostles had a certain decree about them. The apostle could lay hands on the sick and heal them. Apostles, they could do a bunch of things. They could raise the dead. The apostles, there was 12 apostles. And then actually there was basically 14. There was 12 of disciples of Jesus Christ became apostles. And then there were some more apostles that was added in the book of Acts. But these men, they could do great miracles. And the Bible says you can't stand those. He says you have and are not and has found them to be liars. You tried them which say they are apostles. You got a bunch of churches around here, preachers are claiming they're apostles. I always tell people, if they claim they're apostles, let's go down to the hospital and let's clean the place out. Because they didn't have, when the apostles laid their hands on people, you read the book of Acts. I mean, people were healed. They were raised from the dead. Peter went in, raised a man from the dead. They had, it's called the apostolic power. You got these preachers claiming that they got this apostolic power, which they don't. And I always tell them, hey, man, if you got the power, let's go clean out the hospital. They said, well, you know what they have to do? They have to set up a tent, get a rock band, get everybody going in the frenzy, and then try to make everybody think they're apostles and have pay somebody come down the aisle and then slap them in the head and all that crazy stuff. You see Benny Hinn? I had a lady one time, man, I'm not kidding. I was sitting in her house. I was doing the roof. And she said, hey, have you ever heard of Benny Hinn? And I said, yeah, I've heard him. She goes, I'll tell you what, people are getting their legs grown back when he comes in the room. I mean, I started laughing. I really did. I started laughing. I said, you can't believe that lady. Come on. She goes, oh, you doubt God? I said, no, I don't doubt God, but I doubt Benny Hinn. I mean, I doubt him. Because I've been around these false preachers. I've been around these false apostles claiming these things. I've been around. I've heard about them, and I've been around them. And people claiming all kinds of stuff. And the Bible says, you've tried them which say they're apostles and found them to be what? Liars. And that was the early church. There was people claiming rent. You know, there was people wanting to buy. They wanted to buy the power. They wanted to buy it. But the apostleship, I mean, God gave to those 12 and then a few others. And the Bible says they were tried. Now look at verse 3. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake and has labored and has not fainted. I mean, man, what a blessing when you got Christians that will labor and keep on going and serving God and not faint, not quit. I mean, you talking about, you know, you work, work a job for 30 years and then you retire. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's some, Bible talks about being a laborer and not fainting in the labor while you're serving God. I don't plan on retiring. I might give up as a pastor. I'm not give up. I might just down the road, man, just say, okay, I'm a step aside and let somebody else take the church that's younger and do something like that. And then, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on preaching. I mean, like old preacher said, I'm going to die with my boots on, serving God. He says, has borne them in patience for my name's sake and labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, God says, I got something against you. Oh, boy, I tell you what, the Lord gets something against you, man. You want to get it right real quick. Amen. You want to get that thing straightened out. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, well, man, you know, me remember the day when you got saved, how much you loved the Lord. I watched people through this come to this church. They got saved. They were loving God. They were on fire for God. And something happens as you go on. Something goes on in their life. You say, what is it? It's the Bible tells you what it is. And over in the book of Mark, it tells you, it says, they have And they lose their first love by just the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Choke the word in them. And what happens is the labors of life will, man, it'll tear you down. You say, well, how do you stay in love with God? You just got to work at it. You got to work at loving God. You got to stay in love with Him. You got to, you got to work at loving God. Because there's going to be times the devil's going to whisper in your ear and say, God's not fair. You weren't treated right. I mean, you should be doing this, or this should be happening in your life, and these things should be going. That shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened. And all that. And he'll be right there to point out stuff and tell you God's unfair and God's not right. That's a lie. And you say, well, keeping yourself in the love of God. I mean, you got to keep in love with God. Why? And no, it's a God, you're right. No matter what, you're right. You whatever. When our house burnt down, God was right. I mean, when my son got run over by a car, I never accused God falsely. My wife never accused God falsely. I mean, when things happen in our life, I always say, hey, God, I probably deserve it. Have mercy on me. And that's the way I think you'll get through the thing. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. I mean, the Bible tells us all things work together for good if you love Him, if you put your love in. He says, I've tried you and I found you. Man, I've got something against you because you left your first love. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, you've got to get in love with God. She just sang about the love of God. I mean, you've got to have a love for the Lord that's going to carry you on through life. And man, my wife and I have been married 44 years now. 44 years. And you know, so have you ever had a fight? Have you ever had an argument? If I got up here and said we never had an argument, never had a cross word, I'd be a liar. Amen. We've had those things, but I still love her, and she loves me. Thank God we're still in love with each other. Amen. And we still love being around each other. And you say, what did you have to do? You have to work at it. You got to work at it because they're going to say something. Somebody's going to say something. You know, a loved one's going to say something, and you're going to have to, man, you're going to have to get over that thing. And you know what? Every time we get an argument, guess what happens? The old stuff gets spewed up. And that's the way it is in marriages. Amen. Yeah, bring up the old stuff. You got to let that junk go, man. You got to let it go and fall in love with God, fall in love with your wife and family, your husband, and stay in love with God. That's the most important thing. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left the first love. And you said, well, you preaching on the first love? No, I'm not preaching on that this morning. We're going to get down to it. And we'll look on down. He says, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. He said, when you lose your first love, you're fallen. You're fallen. And he says, repent over it. Repent. You say, my love for God is not like it used to be. You got to repent over that. Why? Because God's never changed. You know, God's never changed. He's always right there.
Amen.
But you have. Why? Like I said, the things of this world and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things will come up, and you'll get things, you'll get your sights on other things rather than the most important. Loving God, loving your wife, well, loving your family. And what happens is you start falling in love with money. And the Bible says the love of money. I had people quote that to me and say, oh, money is the root of all evil. No, it isn't. You can use money. They always say money is a good servant, but it's a bad master. Man, you got to fall in love with God. People fall in love with money rather than fall in love with God. If you fall in love with God, everything will work out right. Because the Bible tells you that it's going to work out right. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Look what else it says. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The Lord said, I'm going to remove the candlestick, and this is talking about a church. And a candlestick, you know, a church is supposed to be a lighthouse. Yeah. It's supposed to be a on fire, a lighthouse. It should be serving God. I mean, a church should be, I mean, the religions of this world, man, they're not lighthouses. The religions of the world. People say, well, I'm religious. I don't care how religious. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. And but the Bible says that religion is not the answer, but Jesus Christ is the answer. He says, I'm going to remove that candlestick out of its place except thou repent. And man, God's removed candlesticks. You think about the church of Ephesus when it started. I mean, thank God they were on fire at one time. Thank God. He said, I'm going to remove the candlestick if you don't repent. And you know what? You know what I found out? I found out, man, churches can lose light. They can lose the light. Look at what's happened to the Methodist church. I was taught in Bible school that, man, it starts out with a man. and then it becomes a movement, and then it becomes it becomes a machine, and all of a sudden it becomes a memorial after the man dies, and then it becomes a memorial to him. And what happens is with religion, they were on fire. There was a man, John Wesley. John Wesley came along, and he was preaching the word of God. It became a movement, and they said the Methodist Church swept across this land. I mean, all the way to California, people were getting saved, and people were repenting, and God removed that candlestick, but he brought some other candlesticks up. And those candlesticks, the preachers were preaching the word of God, men like Sam Jones preaching the word of God, as I was talking about. And Sam Jones was preaching, and people getting saved. And what happens is those candlesticks start dying off, but God raises up other candlesticks, long as people repent. Long as they repent and believe the word. But what happens is preachers stop preaching the word of God. They stop believing the word of God. And men, all of a sudden, the candlestick starts being removed. There's not no men that believe that Bible anymore. They don't stand for the word of God. You know those candlesticks in that Bible? You look over in the Numbers chapter 4. Look at Numbers chapter 4. Look what the Bible says. Those candlesticks were for light on the word. Light on the word or the bread. Numbers chapter 4. Look at here. Numbers chapter 4, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Numbers chapter 4, look at what, I got so many scriptures here, this moment's going to be like a Bible study. But look here, and Numbers chapter 4, look at verse 9, and look at this, it says, and they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlesticks of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his stuffed dishes, and all the vessels, all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it in all the vessels therein within a covered of a badger skin, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue. Now go to chapter 8 of Numbers. Go to chapter 8. That candlestick, God told Moses how to make it, what to do with it, and set it up. And those candlesticks were supposed to go in the tabernacle. And then after the temple was built, they went into the temple. My wife and I went to Israel, and we got to stand by the golden candlesticks. The seven, they were about that tall, and we got to stand there and got pictures with that thing. And man, that was cool to be able to see that. Now, we're going to do some turning here. Numbers chapter 8, look at verse 2. Back up verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps, shall the light give light over against the candlesticks? And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlesticks, as the Lord commanded Moses. And his work of the candlesticks was a beaten gold. And on the staff thereof, and it says on the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses, so he made the candlesticks. Go to Exodus chapter 35. Go to Exodus 35. And the candlesticks were important. They're very important. Bring light. The Lord says to the church of Ephesus, I'll remove your candlestick. You know what he's saying? I'm going to remove the light that you have. I'll remove it. If you don't repent, I'll remove the light. You know what I found in Christians' lives? They don't get things right with God. Their light starts dimming. And we're going to look at that in a minute. They're supposed to shine for Jesus Christ. And what happens, their light starts dimming, and they don't have the word of God. The candlesticks was the light over the showbread. And the showbread is the type of the word of God. They don't have light on the word. God doesn't give any light. I remember a preacher said one time, he said, light rejected becomes lightning. Light rejected. What's happening in America? America's rejected the light of the word of God. And now it's become lightning to us. And boy, God have mercy on our country. I love our country. I told that the other night. I love this country. Look at the Bible says in Exodus chapter 35. The candlesticks also, verse 14, the candlesticks also for the light, and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and so on. So this is all the furniture that was going inside the tabernacle. And the Lord said, I want you to make this thing according to the way I've set it up. And everything down here is a type of up in heaven. Everything here that God was telling them to make was what was happening in heaven. And God says, I want you to be a light. I want the light to be on the word. And what happens is you find where Eli goes inside, and Eli and Samuel's in the temple, and Eli didn't repent when his sons were sinning. They did not repent. And the Bible says Samuel woke up and the lights were going out. The lights were going out. And then God tells Samuel, he said, you tell Eli, I'm going to wipe him out, his family and everything. I'm going to wipe them out. Why? They wouldn't repent. He allowed his boys to sin and mess with the women in the temple and steal and all that stuff. He said, I'm going to wipe them out. I'll wipe them out. You know what I've seen the Lord do with churches? I mean, you see churches come up, they're on fire for God, they got a light, and then all of a sudden they quit repenting, quit doing what this first works. You know, you find in Revelation, he said, do the first works that you used to do. Get back to the place where you used to be. You moved. God hasn't moved. Man moves. Amen. Why? Sin moves us and gets us in the wrong direction. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at here. Matthew chapter 5. Man starts moving. The temple was shown, was a place that they was to meet God and come fellowship the Lord. And man, and they finally got used to the light. They got to the complacent. They wouldn't repent. And God says, that's it. The nation of Israel, God says, I'm going to remove you out of this place. I'm going to tear this temple down. Because why? Y'all don't respect it. You don't love it. You don't love me. And I'll tell you what, that's sad. When you read history, that's sad. Very sad. When God starts doing something like that on people that should know better, that should have, they had the truth, and they reject the truth. You know what the light was? It was to show the truth of the Word of God. Amen. You know, I've seen that happen in families. I wondered about the Ryman family. I told you about going down there having revival. I wondered about the Ryman. I remember as a kid riding with my dad cussing and drinking and everything, teaching me how to steal all that stuff. I remember riding with my dad. I remember praying as a little kid. I said, God, is there anybody that loves you in our family? As a little kid, I prayed that. And I remember praying for my mom and dad they wouldn't die and go to hell. They were fighting out there. I remember praying that. I remember praying for things. I remember asking God to get a hold of hearts. Because why? And I didn't know why. I was just a little kid. But I remember after I got saved, I said, Lord, is anybody saved in the Ryman family? And then I go down to Nashville and I find out about this guy, Thomas Ryman. No, he saved man, got saved. Boy, you know, the light hadn't gone all the way out. I mean, the Bible says God puts a light in every man. And what happens is it's a dim light. Once Jesus Christ comes in your light, it's supposed to brighten your whole life up. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. Look what he says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And what happens is he tells that church, he says, you need to do the first works, fall back in love with God. And man, you know, love, like I said, love has to be worked at. My wife and I, we've been in up and down, and we've been in some hearing arguments here and there, not very many, but we've been in some arguments. We've had our ups and downs, but man, we just love each other, and we love God. I told you when I made up my mind, I said, I'm going to serve God. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to serve God with you. We made up our mind. We're going to serve God. God wants us to be a light. Look at this, Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 13. He said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The Lord's saying, you're a light. You're a light. And he's telling those disciples, he said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. You know what your job is? I've said this 100 times before. The devil, when he fell, if you read your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll maybe go there. The Bible says he was the god of this world. Then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says he was an angel of light. And those angels that fell with him, a third of them, they were lights. And I've said this before, you're the replacement. A third replacement. You say, how many was it? I don't know, but there had to be a bunch. Look at this, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord will take that candlestick away from a family, a church, or whatever, if they reject truth and they don't repent. You say, well, you know, there was a thing going around the country a while back where you don't have to confess your sins anymore. You can live like hell, and you can be a Christian and live like hell. That was straight out of hell, telling people you don't have to confess your sins anymore. You don't have to repent anymore over sin in your life. That's crazy. That's crazy. For you to stay in fellowship with God, you've got to repent on a daily basis. And sometimes I repent about 15 times a day. Right down the road. I said, Lord God, I shouldn't even have thought that. God, have mercy, God. God, forgive me, Lord. Help me to say the right thing. Have you ever said something to somebody and you knew it was wrong right when you said it? And you went, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord. I don't want the Lord to take the light away from me. A man that rejects the light and God's not obligated to give him any more light. Yeah. Amen. You reject light in your life, God's not obligated to give you any more. What's happening in America? America used to be the man to light plate. People ever wanted to come here. They still do, but it's still got a glimmer of light. Well, I believe this, why America still got a glimmer of light is because Christians in it. Because Bible-believing Christians still here, still believe in the book. Now look in Matthew 6. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 6. And look at verse 22. Matthew 6, 22. He says, verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. Nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I mean, man, we want to get closer to the light. Why? The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because they're what? Deeds are evil. Watch out for the people that say evil's good and good evil. God said, you got to get your eye straightened out. Amen. Why? Because the things that you see and you hear affects your fellowship with God. It affects you. That's why we always encourage you to read your Bible. That's why we encourage you to pray. That's why we have altar call to get things right. God deals with you. Get it right. Don't wait. As a child of God, why? Your light can get dim. Jesus, I wrote down in my Bible in another passage, he said, let your light so shine before men that they might see the good works of your Father. And, you know, he said, then talks about 30-fold, 60, 100. I put down, oh, Lord, I want to be 100. Yeah. I want to be 100. I want to be 100 watt, or even better. We put these new lights in here, Brother Mark did. These new lights, they're LEDs. Man, they're bright. He said, man, they're bright. People come in, they're bright. I like brightness.
Yeah, amen.
I like lights. Before I was saved, I couldn't wait till it got dark. Yep. I couldn't wait for why. A fellow one time, he was in a class, a physics class, and he said, professor said, explain cold and hot. He said, well, cold retracts and heat expands. He said, give us an example. And he said, well, summertime, he said, days longer. He said, wintertime is shorter. And the professor went, wow, that's something else. He said, you know, that's, where'd you get that from? He said, this truth. And man, you want light in your life. You want God to give you more light. He says this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. No Christian should be walking in darkness. No Christian. You know, in the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and God, it says, and then if you read, take your Bible, look in Genesis. We're going to be turning all over the place. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Look in Genesis. Look at this. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. He divided. God is a divider. He divides light from darkness.
Yep.
They said, I read this morning. And the guy said, science tells us that that light constitutes three rays or groups of wavelength distinct from each other, no one of which without the other could be light. Each has its own separate function. The origination of the first light. And he says the second is formulated and illuminated and manifests, and the third assimilates. And the first ray of 10 called visible light is neither seen nor felt. The second is both seen and felt, and the third is not seen but is felt as heat. That's the type of God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, God the Son. God made everything in threes or seven. Look at here. Look on back to Genesis. He said, and God saw the light was good. God divided the light from darkness. God made, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. That was on the first day God said, I'm going to make light, but there was no sun, no stars, no moon. Look at verse 14. It doesn't show up to 14. That's on the fifth day. God said, light's good. You know what? He says, if your eye be single, you're full of light. But if it be not, you're in darkness. I don't understand why a Christian would want to stay in darkness. I don't understand that. I don't understand why a Christian would constantly walk in darkness. I don't understand. You take your Bible, turn with me in your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God wants you to walk in light. No Christian that walks with God is not walking in darkness. You know, people say, well, I'm in a dark place right now. As a Christian, you can be a dark place, but still have light inside. You know, the Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness. But then people try to point out, well, the Bible says God created light and it created darkness. Yes, he did. He created both of them. And then the Bible says, in Isaiah, it says, God dwelleth in thick darkness. You say, is that a contradiction? No, the Bible says, in him is no darkness. In him. But God can dwell in darkness. God sees in the dark. He knows your very thoughts. That's not a contradiction in the Bible. God is light. In him is no darkness. In him is no darkness. But he can be in thick darkness. People say, oh, that's a contradiction. No, it ain't. Look in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse, or what did I say? 6:14. Look at this. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, that's why we tell people that are saved, don't marry a lost person. Don't hook up with them. Why? They don't see things the way you see it. I have ladies call me and say, will you pray for my husband? He's lost. He don't see it the way I see it. I mean, why? He's lost. Or a husband that's walking in darkness, has been saved and walking in darkness, or a wife walking in darkness, man, there's no fellowship. You know, the Bible says, it says in Ecclesiastes, and it says in chapter 11, it says, light is sweet. Light is sweet. When two people are walking in light together, light is sweet. Especially when you got God as your guide. Light. There's no reason why any Christian should be in darkness. Look at this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? Take your Bible, look in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 13. You got preachers on the radio, on TV. They're all preaching crazy stuff. They're not even walking in the light. They're preachers, but they're not walking in the light. He says, for such are false apostles. See that thing? He's a warning against false teachers, false preachers. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We see a lot of that. We see a lot of preachers that claim to be, all they're after is your money. They want to get your money. You go on YouTube and look up the richest preachers in the United States. Look them up. They're driving Rolls Royce. I mean, they got six houses. Benny Hinn's got a house in every country, just about. Jets. They're worth so many millions. You said, well, they get up. It's just like the Catholic Church claiming that we ought to take care of the poor. And every mausoleum or every church they build is worth billions. Well, come on, man. If you're that concerned about the poor. I remember when I was going to Bible school, Doc used to say, you build what's necessary where people attract some people and make it nice where people like to come, but that's it. You don't have to put gold in the walls. You don't have to do all that stuff. Man, silver chandeliers is worth, $100,000. I've been in some churches like that. Man, I took the kids over to Washington, D.C., the eighth largest Catholic church in the world, and had gold in the walls. I caught a couple kids with their knives out trying to dig some out like that. I said, hey, stop that. Stop that. Don't be digging that gold out there. The Catholic church has got more gold than you know what to do. They know what to do with. But they're always crying out for the poor. He says, so no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? The devil come to you. See, if you don't know your Bible, you don't fellowship with the Lord, the devil will deceive you. It says, no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He said, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look out, man. The devil's transformer. He's a transformer. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I got so many verses, but we can't hit them all this morning. Time's on by so fast. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at this. Talking about God's children. He said, I'll remove that candlestick from you. You know what scared me? God's blessings being taken off of me. I want the Lord's blessings on me. I want the Lord to continue to bless me. And I want the Lord to be on my family. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. I want the Lord to be on my grandkids. And I want to be a light to them. And you know what? For you to have a fellowship with God, you've got to repent. You've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the Bible says we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John. Look at this. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Did I say 4? 5. 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. He says, and look back at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice, God, for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, or an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were sometimes darkness. You know, the Bible says that, it says, you have the quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Ephesians chapter 2. He quickened you out of darkness. When you were called on, Lord, help me, save me, Lord. He pulled you out of darkness. He says, I got something against you. You used to love me. You used to serve me. You used to, man, just fellowship with me.
Yep.
What happened? Now you're going back to darkness? Are you calling evil good and good evil? What happened? I've said this before, most Christians last 5 years. And then the world, and then they get ashamed. And you know, I've had them call me in the middle of the night drunk. The only time they'll call me and ask me to pray for them is when they're drunk. Look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Paul said, he was preaching to King Agrippa and all of them. He said, man, God sent me to bring light to the Gentiles. Bring light to the Gentiles. Why? They were in darkness. You know what? You can cause your family to be in darkness. You can cause a church to go in darkness. And generations are affected by it. My family, generation after generation after generation, was affected by darkness. Finally, one day, my brother got saved. A little light came in. And he started telling me about Jesus Christ. I didn't want to hear it. Because why? I love darkness. I didn't want to hear about it, God. You ever run into people, you say, oh, I'm good. I'm good. I always say, if you're not saved, you're not good. You're not saved. You know, I find a lot of people that's out in the world, man, living like hell. And probably a lot of them protesters probably saved people that got saved and they backslid on God. So, man, they would be out there doing that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, walk as children of light. And the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of what? You know why? After I got saved, God started showing me, get away from them people. Stay away from them. Man, I went back to the bar one night after I got saved. I went in there and started preaching to everybody. I just got saved. I didn't know nothing. All I knew, I got saved. Everybody was telling me, shut up. I turned the lights on. Shut up. Turn the lights out. And they didn't want to hear it. I wanted to see people saved. even though I was in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doeth not make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, wake thou that sleepest. You wake up when it's daytime. You wake up, you get out. Awake thou that sleepest. He says, awake thou that sleepest. He knocks on that church door of Laodicea. He's knocking on the door. Nobody's answering the door. He's knocking. Let me in. They're saying, we're asleep. Leave us alone. We like it this way. That's what's happened with churches. They're not preaching the Bible anymore. They don't believe the Bible anymore. There's no light there. So what they do, they do other things. They try to continue as if it was the same. It's not. They're not seeing people saved. They're not preaching on hell. I went down to the Republican Party thing back when Bush was in power, and a guy paid my way to go to this hotel right there I don't know what relationship he is to us now. It was the Hilton there in Washington, D.C., where they have all the conventions. And I thought it was funny. Here, her dad's girlfriend's son, but they were, might as well say they were married, which would be a half-brother. He runs to Hilton in Washington, D.C. God's got a sense of humor. He runs to Hilton now. He's a Jew. And I went there, and this guy paid my way with a $1,000 dinner plate. And I'm in there with just a suit on. Everybody's wearing tuxedos. Vice President Cheney was there. That woman, the state's attorney in Florida, she was there. A whole bunch of people spoke. And they went around the room to all the tables. Light came on every table. You had to stand up and tell who you were. And I had my Bible sitting on my lap. I had these women sitting next to me. They had senators and congressmen from Illinois, South Carolina, all over. I'm ex-convict. I'm ex-convict. I was in Baltimore Penitentiary when I was 18 years old. And I'm sitting at the table. I'm thinking, God, this is crazy. And the president's about ready to come out to speak. I'm sitting at the table, and this guy's paying my way. He's got a tuxedo on, and I'm sitting there with my Bible in my lap. And the light came over on a table, and everybody had to stand up, telling the senator from Illinois, senator, I got their cards, South Carolina, different ones. And they stood up and said who they were, and I stood up. I said, my name's Alan Ryman. I'm pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I believe in heaven real and hell hot. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. And everybody went. I went, thank you. I rode away from there. I called my wife. I was laughing. I said, man, I can't believe it. The guy paid my way for 3 days to be there, and all I did was ride the elevator up and down, witness to everybody. Had them trapped. I had them on the elevator. Just witness to everybody. The school board superintendent from Delaware was on there. I witnessed to her at that time. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. You can have fun serving God. I've had a lot of fun. Isaiah chapter 8. Light. Light rejected becomes lightning. You don't want it to become lightning in your life. Man, God's given you light. You better run with it. You better hold on to it. You better keep that thing lit. I said Samuel's job was to keep the candlesticks lit. You know what the Bible says John the Baptist was? He was a bright, burning light. You know what he was doing? He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You know what tribe he came from? You know what tribe old John the Baptist came from? He came from the tribe that was in charge of the candlesticks, the Levites. John the Baptist was a Levite. His father didn't believe when the angel showed up in the temple and he was doing his business in the holy place, and his father didn't believe it, and he became dumb. And then when John the Baptist, when they said, what is his good name going to be? And he said, John. He was a burning and bright light. You know what he was doing? He was the candlesticks. Jesus Christ was the word. The showbread. Amen. He was putting light on Jesus. Yeah. He said, I must decrease. must increase. You know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to decrease. He's supposed to increase in your life. Amen. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see the good works of our Father. Amen. Amen. You're not doing that. The verse in Matthew says, salt when it lost the savor is good for nothing. Amen. If you're not being a light for Jesus Christ, you're good for nothing. Isaiah chapter 8. We got so many verses, I can't even get them all. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah 8, verse 15. He says, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I am and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards and that peep and that mutter, shall not a people seek their God for the living to the dead, to the law, to the testimony? If they speak not according to his word, this word, it is because there is no light in them. No light. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. We'll close with this. 1 John. He's saying, if you're not talking about the Lord and you're ashamed of him, no light. I want light. When I read my Bible, I want light. I want light in my life. I want light be shed. I want to be able to hold a light where my kids, my grandkids can see and glorify him. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, or 1, excuse me, verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. If you say, oh, me and God, we're all right. While you're drinking your bud, while you're smoking your joint, we all right. Me and God, we got our own thing. You know, we got an agreement. Me and God got agreement. Well, yeah. What I realized, I'm talking to a fool. I had a boy tell me the other day, he was with me. And I said, when you going to get right, man? Oh, me and man, I'm witnessing all the time. I'm talking for God. I said, the Bible says cursing shouldn't be coming out of the same mouth. And blessing shouldn't be coming out of the same mouth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We ought to want fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great statement? Amen. Man, take your Bible, look in Colossians. I said that was going to be last, but look in Colossians. You've got to look at these. These are so good. Ecclesiastes said, light is sweet. Light is sweet. Man, we have fellowship one with another. You know what he says that church? He said, you better start doing the first works. You better get back to it. Well, I'll come remove that candlestick. The candlestick could be a couple things. It could be a couple things. You don't want the Lord to remove anything, especially when it comes to that. Look at Colossians chapter, I'm in Ephesians. Let me go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, verse 11, strength with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Light. Meet to be partakers of an inheritance. Say, well, can the devil get your soul after you're saved? No, he can't get your soul. I've said this, out of all the people in the world, almost 7 billion people on the planet, only probably say 10% of those 7 billion, if maybe, are saved. Out of those 10%, maybe 1% believe that you can't lose your salvation once you're saved. And I can show you evidence from the Word of God so convincing you can't even argue with it. You can't lose your salvation. You're his child. But if the devil knows, he knows you're saved. You can be out in the world living like hell. He knows you're saved. He knows it. When the Lord said, put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed by, you got blood on you. When you got saved, you got washed in the blood. The devil knows who you are. So the devil can't get your soul. But the next best thing is get your family and get your money and get everything about you. Get you. And ruin your life. Amen. So you'll never open your mouth about him. And you won't have the fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's why it's important to confess your sin. Get it right. Thank God for light. Amen. I'm glad light came to the Ryman family. Amen. Woo! Because me and my whole family would have been in hell. Thank God for light. Light comes from the Word of God. John the Baptist shed light on Jesus Christ. People, when Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, our lights are supposed to be bright, reflecting him. You know what the moon is? The moon reflects the sun. And the moon is there. It doesn't have its own light. We don't have our own light. Our light comes from him. We're supposed to be reflecting him. Are you doing that? If not, you're backslid. You need to repent. You say, what do you mean be repent? Just ask God to forgive you. Do the first works. Fall in love with him again. Remember when you fell in love with him? Man, how good it was. You didn't care what anybody said. You loved him. You sang praises to him by yourself. I like it when it's like that. I like it when it's sweet. Light is sweet. Lord, thank you, God, for your word.